Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you,
not live,
from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Phoenix Room, nestled amongst a complex of rooms that comprise tobacco on Main Street,
Westminster,
Maryland, USA.
Tom Cannon, proprietaire.
Yeah.
I'm Johnny Midas.
And I'm El Fumo.
And we smoke cigars.
That's right.
And today we are smoking something pretty cool. I'm not saying it. A lot of people are saying it. It's pretty cool. This is...
a Diamond Crown? Holy shit.
My Diamond Crown case. No, this is the Padron Ruby Red Exclusive Edition.
Can you edit in like a crowd clapping? Like...
yes, of course I can. If you would actually listen to the show, you know. Let me just show that off to the camera. I don't know how the lighting is, but see if it'll focus.
It looks gorgeous in the cello, man.
Yeah, it is. It's like, beautiful.
It doesn't take away.
Yeah, that's your camera. Yep. So, we're going to cut and light these, but real quick... the band, Ruby Red Exclusive Edition, Two Guys Smoke Shop 40th Anniversary. This cigar was made to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Two Guys Smoke Shop in Salem, New Hampshire. A collaboration between Dave Garofalo of Two Guys and, of course, the Padron family.
Oh, yeah.
Only available from that shop. Very limited edition. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But this is, you know, Padron is one of those brands.
Right.
They're way up there with the Plasencias and Fuentes and everything. Yeah. And they have diehard fans. This is the one that got away. By the time you listen to this, you may not be able to get your hands on one. So, let's cut light and tell you how awesome you missed is. Right? So, I'm going to cut mine with the my Perdomo Cigars double-bladed... closed-backed guillotine cutter, deep dish guillotine cutter, and you've got
the Craftsman's Bench stainless steel
open-ended double blade guillotine, the default cutter.
That's right.
The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Cigars. The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do. And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority.
Oh, Tom.
No limp-wristed cutting allowed. You see that?
Yeah. Not holstered.
That's just my game.
Yeah.
Not much coming out.
No.
As you would expect from a long filler cigar.
Maybe. Am I going to have another wrapper issue today?
If we do at this point, it's your fucking fault.
No, this is
All right. So, by the way, the first band says 1964 Anniversary Series. So, as you know, there's two Anniversary Series, the 26 and the 64. This is apparently in that family. And then it has its Ruby Red... Exclusive Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Ruby is the 40th anniversary stone.
Yeah.
That's why Ruby Red. So
I didn't know that was a thing.
Let's go ahead and get this lit. I'm going to be lighting up with my Rocky Patel single flame and also single soft flame lighter. Of course, it is white, or it was white, with beautiful rose gold cross on it. So very Johnny Midas styling here. And you have got...
courtesy of Tom Cannon, Zico Forjet lighter.
Zico quad torch. Isn't there a thing built into the bottom?
No.
It has a flip out punch.
Yeah, punch.
Easy adjustable lighter.
Yeah, this one's kind of different.
Yep, you just stick your fingernail in there and twist.
And what's the retail on that?
I'm not sure. He just handed it to me.
Oh, okay. So. Well, the retail on that is $12.99 at Tobacco on Main Street, which is pretty good for a lighter nowadays. Yeah.
This thing's heavy, too. Could whack somebody with it.
Right. Not a name brand, but a good...
it's a good...
quad torch. All right, the official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor.
Leave the roasting to the coffee professional.
Leave the roasting to 2C Premium. And come toast with us. Slancha. Salud. Skol. Gesundheit.
This toasted perfectly.
Why does mine have an initial buttered and peppered popcorn taste?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just off that very first puff. Tom Cannon.
Hello.
Thank you. What are you, sir? All right, so we have got these smoldering. You need accoutrement?
Nope.
Looks like you're set up.
Dude. Like movie theater popcorn. Like I'm still puffing on.
Yes, movie theater popcorn. Like that somebody put a black pepper coarse ground black pepper grinder over for like legit. So this is the Padron Ruby Red Exclusive Edition Two Guys Smoke Shop 40th Anniversary Maduro. It comes in one Vitola, a 5 3/4 by 56 Parejo. This is not box pressed. So like the Jose Padron is not box pressed. But your 64th anniversary series is, your 26th anniversary series is, this is one of the rare non-box pressed Padrones. The MSRP and the retail price that you're actually going to pay is the same, $40.
At the moment.
That's the only price until it goes in the second hand.
That's market. What I'm saying, at the moment.
Why do I say that? Because this cigar, which like most, actually every Padron that I'm aware of, undisclosed wrapper binder filler. Although I know where the wrapper came from, but I can't say it on air. All of these exist as a Maduro or natural wrapper, like most of Padron's offerings.
Yes.
Only 200 individually numbered boxes were made. The box is double as a humidor. That's what they advertise it as. It doesn't have any special... like a built-in humidifier or anything like that. Doubles as a humidor. They were designed by Nelson Alfonso. So Nelson is often brought in for designing stuff around cigars, including Cohiba.
Bands.
Has used them.
Only because he's good at it.
Yeah.
Only because he's good at it.
Bands, accoutrement, boxes, just anything.
Yeah.
But his day job is he's in charge of marketing for the entire Cuban industry. Also owns Atabey and related lines there.
Yes.
Always beautiful work.
Actually, we should do a whole episode on Nelson Alfonso, to be honest with you, because he's really fucking interesting dude.
He's a hell of a nice guy. I just he is, yeah. Around for a week.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Yeah.
that was one of the cool things about the last career. Was sometimes I had to hold the cigar gods.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he has a great reputation for being a solid dude. He's a really nice guy that does amazing work.
One of the most pleasant people I've ever met.
Good, good. Yeah, so only available at Two Guys Smoke Shop. Mm-hmm. It's for Two Guys Smoke Shop. The box features a ruby-like crystal button. When you press the button, it releases the magnet that holds the lid down. So it's a reverse magnetic latch.
Yeah.
Very trick. And, of course, the ruby is the traditional gemstone gift for 40th anniversary. And because they wanted people to actually buy these cigars, it's not a real ruby. But it looks like a ruby. $1,600 for the box, which comes out to $40 a stick.
Didn't at least make one.
Also, no, but you could probably replace it.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, you know, if you had the $2,000 for a reasonably not shitty ruby that size.
Yeah.
It is available in Maduro and natural, but only 50 of the 200 boxes were made in natural. So if you want this in natural, you probably, there's none left by the time this airs, mm-hmm. would be my guess. Because Padron has such a fan base. And if you're one of those folks and you're listening to this, stop right now. Go to Two Guys Smoke Shop. I don't know what the actual URL is, but just Google that. Appreciate and put your order in. Because these won't last long.
They might be sold out by the time you see this.
It might be. We just have a jump on everything because, well, you know, we do this show. I do it to serve you guys, but also I've been developing relationships for almost 25 years now.
Which, just to touch on that, this is the example of the relationships you build. Like it this is, right
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Not just the regular... It's like, okay, cigar collab, sure. They're in the cigar industry. But this is a retailer and a...
You both are most certainly in the industry.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Thank you.
But like, ones, you know, cigar makers, it's easy for them to collab. And then it's like, you got this going.
Depends which tier of the industry you're in.
Yes. Right. there's levels.
Anybody who wants a cigar, you're in the industry.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we need you most.
I'm in the industry too, though.
So, while you're busy Googling that, also Google Naked Karate Girls, the last best party band, which I know firsthand from this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably just cut some footage in because it was just cool as fuck.
Yeah. I think... Somebody thought you were talking about the hub or something.
No, so here's how the band got its name. Now, they're not young anymore, although they worked so hard on stage. I mean, dripping with sweat. But the internet was kind of new when they started their band.
Mm-hmm.
And they read an article that the three most Googled words that year were naked, karate, and girls. And they said, if we name our band Naked Karate Girls... everyone will hit our webpage.
Nice.
And that's how the band got its name. I don't know if it worked or not, but they are a hell of a band.
That's how Apple got its name.
They're not known for, like, their originals. They're known for playing all the songs you can sing along with.
Yeah.
So you hire them for your parties. And by the way, they're doing a party cruise next year in April, and I'm seriously thinking about taking off of work and going on that.
Sounds like fun.
It would be a ton of fun. I mean, you get all the cruise ship stuff.
Yeah.
And the last best party band.
River Cruise?
Ocean no, like Cruise. I think they're doing Aruba or that area. You know what? I'm going to email them right now.
50 people.
I'm going to email them. Yeah, wait till the Burnline Cigar Cruise comes out.
Yeah.
All right, we got sidetracked. We're smoking the Padron Ruby Red Exclusive Edition. This is a lot of tobacco. It's a 5 3/4 by 56. They don't actually call it something, but I don't know what this is. Like, it's halfway between a Toro and a Gordo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting vitola, and it is round, which, you know, I'm just used to associating Padrons with box press.
Mm-hmm.
Especially their, you know, their more expensive ones, like not the 3000 series.
Especially all the Principes, though.
All of the... the tiny vitolas are box pressed.
They're box pressed.
Yeah.
That tiny little spot on mine.
Yeah.
It won't be a problem. It's an interesting brown.
It is interesting.
It's a different brown than Padron does, just slightly. When it clicks off.
It's not as dark as their Maduros usually.
Is yours very toothy?
Slightly toothy. Some right. parts of the leaf are very toothy. Yours is very toothy.
I know. That's how I just realized that his.
Yeah, isn't. I'm looking at mine, thinking, no, that's about a 2 on the tooth factor.
Yeah, mine's probably a 4, and yours is like a 7.
Yeah.
Or 8. So, yeah, really cool. Yeah. A lot of the times, tooth is actually crystalline deposits mm-hmm. as the leaf ages.
Yeah. It's not an issue. By the way, that I'm bringing it up for the
no, folks. No,
yeah,
more toothy.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
I know I missed the presentation of the ribbon and all, but I gotta say they nailed it. Looks like a Padron.
Oh yeah.
At the top, bottom mm-hmm. half says exactly everything it needs to do, and it's great contrast. You can read it without glasses.
Yep.
Well done.
Other than the white writing that says "Exclusive Edition," that clashes with the color palette, but. It's a beautiful cigar, and it's beautiful to smoke. So the movie popcorn has gone away.
Mm-hmm.
That was just really interesting.
Smell that secondhand real quick, though. It's like a... It still has, like, that buttery smell. Not popcorn, but, like, a buttery...
You know what it smells like to me? It smells like if you took a cedar plank
mm-hmm.
and put a stick of butter on it, and then put it in your grill after you turn the grill off and it's cooling down.
And you like, just cook shrimp.
And you had just cooked shrimp. That's what it smells like.
So weird.
Yeah. Or if you cooked shrimp on a cedar plank with butter.
Mm. But part of that is just because there was like some Old Bay-ish.
Mm-hmm. A truly Maryland cigar review. It's Old Bay-ish.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what Old Bay is, fuck you. Google it. all right, so...
buy some, it's awesome. Goes on everything.
It does go on everything. So what's that watch manufacturer down there in Baltimore?
Sal?
Yeah,
TSAO.
Yes. Yeah. So they just came out with, or this spring, they came out with an Old Bay watch.
Yeah.
And
looks so cool.
the face looks like someone covered a face in Old Bay. Like, it has texture to the color. It's not the color of Old Bay. It looks like someone poured Old Bay on it.
Yeah.
It's really cool looking.
By the way, the owner's super cool.
The owner is super cool. The whole watch brand
is really
super
is.
Cool. TSAO. It's pronounced So, like General So's Chicken. Or Sow.
Sow. Well, he told me. I just forgot.
I think it's Sow. It might be So.
We see him, what, October?
Yeah, we see him in October. We'll apologize profusely. But TSAO, Google that. If you like timepieces, you know, I kind of like timepieces.
We should get him up here for Friday.
Yeah, we'll do it. We need another timepiece episode.
Yeah.
It's been like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few additions to my collection. I've got the Leon Grenier. I've got... Did I add my... Omega Seamaster 007 after the show. I might have done that one.
Which you've already worn it.
I've got a Richard Mille and a Patek Philippe since then. So I can bring those in. And then I have a Rolex Daytona Cosmograph with the yellow carbon, with the carbon fiber and the yellow mm-hmm. band on order. That one's kind of cool.
I'll have to wear my golden nugget sometime for you.
Yeah, you can bring your golden nugget. All right, we'll do a timepiece episode. So, back to the Padron.
The episode of digression.
The episode of digression. Back to the cigar. It's unmistakably a Padron. The way the spice hits and the strength.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely make stronger cigars than 7? This. But you know what it reminds me the most? Yeah, 7. I think this reminds me the most right now of the Jose Padron. But I'm struggling if that's just because of the Vitola.
I don't know. I haven't smoked one of those.
It's definitely not the as Tebow. Meaty as a regular Padron.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you took a 1926 anniversary, it's more meaty than
this. I've only smoked like a handful of Padrons, to be honest.
They're wonderful, but they all taste the same.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Yeah, and they're too strong for me. Personally, I think they overcook their leaves a little.
Yeah, like the 1000 series I've smoked, those are decent.
I smoke a Padron about once a quarter. It's an excellent stick, and I like to enjoy it, but...
I love the 26s and 64s, even though I don't smoke much of them. I do smoke mostly the 1000s.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller ones get phenomenal, particularly with age.
Yeah.
My second favorite cigar on the planet is the 50th anniversary, mm-hmm. Little or Big Hammer.
Like
but I smoke 2 or 3 a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, the Precipitas are good because it's a nice short smoke and you get, like...
Yes, that's the Vitola. I like...
They did away with 4 sizes I loved.
Yeah. But, well, the Principe, to me, was the perfect size because I don't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
They are strong cigars.
It's a shot. It's literally it's a shot.
They were delicious.
Yes,
that was... Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
That thing was a great party cigar because, you know, it was like $120.
Wait, the Damaso?
No.
No.
It was
the Delicioso.
It was like your pinky a little bit longer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you know the Damaso, right?
The Damaso is their Connecticut-looking one.
Yeah. By the way, that's a great cigar, and the only reason people don't like it is because it's a Padron and it's in the Padron section. If you are out there and you have a cigar shop and you have the Damaso, put it with the Connecticuts and you'll sell them all day. Mm-hmm. Just don't tell people it's a Padron.
Yeah.
Because people are expecting something.
One of my best stories is about the Damaso, if we have time.
Go ahead.
All right, so that came out in the summer. I don't remember what year. Next February, I'm sitting in on a corporate meeting. We're doing our thing. And one of the primaries gets a call from Jorge Padron. Jorge, how are you, my friend? I am well. The immediate question is, why is no one reordering my Damaso? The primaries oddly don't know much about cigars. They didn't have their finger on the beat at the time. Me and my other co-worker, we look at each other and we kind of give them the eyeball that says, well, we know the answer, but I'm not sure he wants to hear it. And we were given permission. No, he needs to hear what you have to say. And our reply was, well, it tastes like a Monte Cristo white and it costs $4 more. There was a pause. He says, okay, thank you. Send me back everything you have. 6 months later, the current Damaso is out, and it does now taste like a Padron light.
It does. It does. That's a great. Great story.
I remember that story. Yeah.
It's just amazing. No matter how big the cigar world is, it's really small. I can't have been the only one that told him that, but.
Well, that's one reason why Padron is such an excellent brand. He didn't even leave them on the shelves. It's like, nope, I'm taking it back. It doesn't get my name on it. And yep. Replaced it.
That's important, man. You can't just ego trip your cigar.
They are one of the most consistent manufacturers out there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It is quality control. It does not put out anything that is not phenomenal.
Yep. Great. So, socials and surprises. You are our marketing plan. If you think we add value to the cigar smoking hobby, go ahead, like, share, subscribe. Click that notification bell, drop us a line, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com, or you can just go to the show notes down below and click the link tree. It'll say contact us, and you can email us that way as well. It's your show, so let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see us smoke, any spirits you want us to try, reach out, and of course, we can read your email on the show as well. So any questions, comments, concerns, complaints that you have, send them our way. That's our goal. This is the Cigar Consumer Podcast. We don't work for the industry. We work within the industry to help your experience be efficient so you're not wasting money. And then, of course, you know, the old asterisk. This is my palate, not your palate. So do your own research. But we're going to try to help you out. Don't bother with the Partagas.
I was gonna say it. Damn it!
Beat you to it. All right. So
that cigar is going to live on forever.
That cigar will live on.
Okay, forever. Real quick, since you're on it already, have you heard anything back on that? Like, has anybody commented?
I've had one person come in and request that cigar.
Okay. From what I've read, okay, and I understand why these reviewers are talking the way they are. They're like sugarcoating their, like, you read the reviews and they're sugarcoating. I'm like, dude, you guys gotta be honest.
You have to read between the lines. Well, you don't have to read between the lines on Burnline Podcast. No. We're going to tell you our experience, and it might not be your experience,
right?
But it's ours, right?
So I'm just saying, we're not off and we're not talking shit. Read those reviews and you would be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you read between the lines on them.
One must always be mindful of reviews by people who get paid to advertise other people's products.
That's correct. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's a certain filter that one must accept.
That is correct. Shout out to new YouTube subscribers, Yada Monster, wannabe rapper number one, and Chad Scott. You guys need to talk to each other. One of you has a really boring YouTube name, and one of you is just out to lunch. So just mix up the words a little bit, share them with each other, and we'll have two normal YouTubers. Thanks for joining us.
Got a couple followers on Facebook as well.
On YouTube. All that. Well, you have to provide that, so I'm going to tell you guys a little secret. I run the Instagram. El Fumo runs the Facebook. So if you want to talk to one of us specifically, Instagram for me, Facebook for El Fumo. I'm too cool for Facebook, so he had to take over that. Also, I can't figure out the technology. So, also new followers on Instagram. Shout out to Andy Merritt, Argoarn, Jersey to Vegas, Aplaca 75, The Real J, Just J, Enigmatically Reviews, Feliciano Pione, DMCP 100, Travis DM 01, Sean Pugh 70, and others. Thank you for the follow. I'm sorry if I missed anybody. Thanks for joining the tribe. We are really trying to create value for the cigar hobbyist, and having your support means the world to us because it is an uphill battle with the algorithm, and so we always say that, and you know, we're not complaining and being bitchy. We're just telling you the truth. If you want to get the word out there, interact, right? The email of the week is from Cedric. New cigar smoker, looking for samples, trying to get a favorite. And he's got his address, which I'm not going to dox you, Cedric. here are some great tobacconists near you. Talk to the staff, build relationships. They can help you develop your tastes and preferences. And don't forget that you must show a valid ID to take delivery of tobacco products. So check out The Cigar Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. They're 5 minutes away from you and feature a well-stocked humidor at multiple price points. I think they're ranked number 3 in the entire city of Montgomery. The number 1 ranked Montgomery is Havana Dreaming. It's just 9 minutes from you. Check them out. Great selection. And a great cigar lounge that I have been to is Sanctuary Cigars. It's just about 10 minutes away. So these are not head shop, vape shops, glassware shops that also sell cigars, and there's a ton of them around you. These are actual cigar shops and lounges. And give them a shot. Let them help you on your journey. Tell them Johnny Midas sent you. And we will get you started in this hobby.
And report back.
Yeah, report back. You've got our email address, obviously. So let us know how it was. And yeah, welcome to the wonderful cigar smoking hobby, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I think it's time for a break. And when we come back, we'll do our tobacconist tip of the week. Keep your dial locked in to Burnline Podcast.
Summer plaid, you know, earth tones, little sky blue mixed in there. Shows off my olive complexion.
Anyways, since this episode...
I mean, it was a good choice because we've had, like, a lot of digressions this episode.
So we really
it
have.
Yeah, it fits in naturally. So yes. It was a good... Yeah, you're playing along. I get it. Yeah.
All right, since we're talking...
Not really, you know, we're back. We're going to have another week or two of 90 degrees, so...
Yeah. All right, Tom with the weather. All right, so the tip of the week, since we're talking
I do have to admit, the plaid shorts, fucking fire. I'd wear those. I'd rock those.
Why don't you guys just trade jeans and plaid shorts right now?
And we're back on Burnline Podcast with your tobacconist tip of the week. Take it away, El Fumo.
All right. Since we're talking about relationships, you know, we talked about going to events, and then we talked about relationships between cigar makers and cigar retailers with the cigar makers. And now, also to help you out, you know, build those relationships yourself with your proprietor, like Tom. You know, that'll help you out since he said, since to help out Cedric, you know, hey, build that relationship with your tobacconist. That way they get a feel for your palate, or, you know, something new on the street, they'll be like, here, try this out, or, you know, help you avoid waste money. So, in case it's something that you might not like, you're like, yeah, that's not your palate, don't try that. Or if you get, if you go pick up that Partagas, they'll probably tell you, hey, don't smoke that Partagas. So, just stuff like that. And then, it just goes from there.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, look, this is life advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get out of your fucking phone. Those aren't real friends. Meet people, smile, have a beer.
You learn a lot.
You learn a lot.
You make new friends.
Make new friends.
All walks of life with one common thing. A hobby that, since it is entirely subjective, everybody's freaking right.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
You like what you like.
Yep.
Unless there's that one guy that's always right.
So, today we're talking about selecting a cigar humidor. So, you know, we've mentioned humidors and some options from time to time. What I came up with was five categories of humidor, and I was starting to, like, collect some to bring in, and it's not going to work with the camera set up and everything, especially once we get to display cabinets. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut footage in for you guys out there of humidors that I actually own and some that Tom owns, because I don't own anything that big. But here are five levels of humidor, right, to get you started. And so most of the folks that I've met, like Cedric, start out buying a cigar and smoking it. Eventually you get to the point where you want to have a cigar on the weekend,
mm-hmm.
when maybe your shop is closed, mm-hmm. or you can't make it in. You'll find a way to make a smoking nest at home. Once you get into the hobby, you know, having a place to enjoy cigars at home, you know, a lot of folks end up, it might be a lawn chair out by the air conditioning unit, but you got something, right? Which means you need a humidified cigar, right, that you can keep at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so a pretty common question starting out, and also for some folks that have been in it for a little bit, is, I don't know, like, where do I go next? What's the next step? I ran out of space, mm-hmm. right? So here's the sort of five levels. The very first level is your B&B, your box and Boveda. Now, this one's kind of easy. If you buy most Fuente products, they have a Boveda pack in the box.
Already, yep.
So if you're smoking one cigar per day, one cigar every 2 days, anything where you kind of consume those cigars in less than 60 days, usually you can just keep them right in that box. Now, if you buy a box of cigars and it doesn't have a Boveda pack in it, you can buy one at your local tobacconist, mm-hmm. and just throw it in there. If you don't buy a box, you can buy an empty box from your local tobacconist, mm-hmm. as well. So this is your very first humidor, the B&B, box and Boveda. It's the best for starting out. But here's a couple of hints for you. The first one is get an all wood box. So you have a lot of different ways of presenting cigars. You don't want one of those cardboard and paper boxes.
Mm.
They absorb moisture.
And they don't seal.
They don't seal. It's not a great choice.
Just packaging.
Yes, it's just packaging. There's a lot of great all wood boxes. Choose one of those.
The clasp
is helpful to seal it. Also, there's different sizes,
mm-hmm.
you know, so don't get one where you're going to smash your cigars by accident, or there's a lot that, like, this box was designed for Robusto length.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a Toro and maybe it fits sideways or diagonal and you just ate up all your space, something like that. So look for your space, look for the construction, and then use a low percentage Boveda pack. So this is kind of getting into more technical inside baseball stuff, but the best humidification percentage for your cigar is actually like 64%. You can get Boveda packs all the way up to like 77% or whatever. Those have their uses, usually for putting in a brand new humidor.
84.
You can get up to 84%, yeah.
You ain't smoking anything.
If you throw that on top of a box of cigars, that top layer is going to be spongy. It's over humidified. So I would recommend like a 62 or 64%.
Yeah.
And then also, if you want to, like, if this is going to be your solution for a while, like the Cañones box, you can actually fit a lot of cigars in there. This can be your humidor for quite some time. Just go ahead and upgrade, get a digital hygrometer off of Amazon. They're super affordable, super reliable, and you can just make sure that you're at the right humidity that you want. Now, if you buy cigars by the box, you can kind of just buy a Boveda pack and throw it on top most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it does depend on the box. If you get one of those paper and cardboard flip-top cigar boxes, it's not great for holding humidity in. Now, I'm assuming that your humidor is going to be indoors, and if it is indoors in America, in this region, you have air conditioning, which also dries out the air, and so you have to worry about humidity. Now, if you're keeping your humidor outside, this time of year, you don't have to worry about it. not in Carroll County. It's 80% humidity anyway. that's just a joke. So that's the B&B, the Box and Boveda. That's a great place to start. And then the next step up is your small lift lid humidor. So this is a humidor box. It sits on your table or your shelf or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The lid opens up like this. Sometimes they have a glass door in the top to see your cigars. This is really best for storing, like, a box that you bought that you don't want to store in the original box, or lots of different types of cigars. Instead of having five boxes with five cigars in them and five Boveda packs, you can consolidate them. And if you want to have enough cigars to have guests over, right, great choice for that. There is a few caveats here. Things to keep in mind, right? So the first is, don't forget to rotate your cigars, right? Most of these have a lift-out tray in the top and then space in the bottom and fit a couple hundred cigars. The cigars on the bottom won't humidify the same way as the cigars in the tray. You don't have to rotate them frequently, but once a quarter at least. Number two thing to keep in mind, don't put flavored cigars in there. So, just so we're all on the same page, there is a bunch of legal issues with having a flavored tobacco product. As a result, many of the manufacturers are less than forthcoming about their cigars. If you see the word infused, that's flavored. If you see the word sweet cap, it may or may not be infused, but the sweet cap, if it touches another cigar, will absolutely transfer flavor. If it's not touching another cigar, it won't. But they're usually on infused cigars. And of course, you have super subtle, well, the Wildcat's an example. We smoked that recently.
Yeah.
And
no advertising whatsoever about it. You
really can't tell from the manufacturer's page. I think there's one little line in there that says, can't remember if it's used the word infused or not.
It just says be bold.
But, word of caution there. Why not put flavored cigars in your small lift lid humidor? Tom, why don't we do that?
Tobacco leaves very much act like a sponge. They will absorb whatever is around them to absorb. So if you have a flavor infused cigar, you're going to lose a lot of the flavor out of that cigar that you wanted, and it's also going to transfer into the cigars where you didn't want it to go to.
Yep, and you know what else is like a sponge? The wood that that box is made out of.
Yes.
And, yeah, you might have a flavored humidor now. So, yeah, get your own box for that. Now, this style is a little limited in its effectiveness just due to its design, right? If you think about it, at some point you're going to have cigars on cigars on cigars on cigars and no airflow. So I don't recommend larger than a 200 count for this style of humidor. If you want to put a hydrometer in it, I highly recommend that. You don't really need to. If you use a 62 or 64 Boveda pack, and as soon as it starts to get not squishy, swap it out, you're fine. But if you want a hydrometer, put it in the bottom, not in the top tray. Right? The top tray is going to have a much higher humidification factor than the bottom. Ideally, you could have both. So you got your Box and Boveda, that's like your starter kit. and then you're going to graduate to this small lift lid humidor, right? The third level is like a desktop cabinet humidor. So these are still designed to go on your bar, on your dresser, on your table, but it has a door that opens and multiple trays, and these can get fairly large and hold more than 200 cigars and humidify them properly, right? So usually they have pull-out trays. They at least have shelves. It allows better airflow as you increase the number of cigars stored. They don't have to be big. I have one that's advertised as a 500 count, and I think that's a generous assessment. I think it's more like the 350 range.
They're all always overly generous.
They are all, yes, that's a good call. They're all overly generous on, yeah.
Always measured by the Davidoff mini cigar.
Yes, yeah. I can fit 500 Tatianas in this.
Yeah.
So, use a hydrometer. Now, I'll tell you a story about mine. I have a hydrometer in each tray. The difference in humidification between the bottom tray and the top tray is usually around 6%. It's significant. And so I do have a hydrometer in each tray. Now, I got a four-pack of these button hygrometers from Amazon, and I think it was like $20. So they're not super expensive.
No, they're very, very affordable.
And I would recommend that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that also explains why you need to rotate your cigars. The good thing about the one I got is the trays are all interchangeable, and I literally just pull the tray out and rotate it from top to bottom.
Yep.
I don't go deeper than one cigar in each tray because I don't need to. But if I went deeper than one, I would rotate from bottom to top on that tray and then rotate the tray up to the top and then back down to the bottom.
I'm a huge fan of trays and shelves.
Yes, trays and shelves are awesome. Yes, yes. So, as you can tell, we're going from small to large, and that's by design, because that's how your cigar collection is going to grow. And I know folks that have, well, Nick has, like, cases of, what are those, the Sterilite, like, the storage containers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he has, like, these big bins with Boveda packs and entire boxes of cigars, as well as individual sticks in them, because... Yeah, because
his collections
grow. So that is your bulk storage for cigars. If you have thousands of cigars, remember, one 50-gallon Sterilite can hold thousands.
Yes.
Of cigars, that is the way to go. They are completely airtight. There's some drawbacks there as well, which we'll talk about. But this is Box and Boveda XL, right?
Yeah.
If you are looking for more of a humidor, the next step up is the electric floor humidor. These are becoming more and more popular. The pros are the temp and humidity are usually electronically controlled. And they can even be really cool. Like, they have apps and stuff now. We can control them remotely. They fit a lot of cigars. This is more like getting into an appliance / piece of furniture. I have one in my bedroom. It is not a large one, but it is still too large to, like, put on my dresser or something. It has its own floor space. Also, my dresser has other humidors on it. So, there is one con. There's no air exchange with the outside. Right? These are like a refrigerator. They have that seal. It is a refrigerator, literally. And really, you do want some air exchange. You know, you want it to be slow, but you want some. Wood works really well for this because it naturally does that through the wood.
Right.
Actually, through the pores of the wood. So that's a consideration. And of course, why? Well, you can get stale air in there, and that's...
No bueno.
It's especially pronounced with the refrigeration because that refrigerator is dehumidifying the air it's cooling, and it's fighting the humidifier, right? And so all of the stuff that's in the air stays, and the water leaves. And so the air just collects more and more particulate matter, basically. So you need to pay attention to that and air it out. Open it up every once in a while. So ideally, if you're going to pay for one of these, you want refrigeration, humidification, and a fan. you have the fan, it will make sure the humidity is evenly dispersed, right? If your electronic floor humidifier does not have any of those parts, you can buy them separately. I bought an automatic electronic humidifier for cigar for a cigar box. This is not like that thing you put by the side of your bed, right? And it was not cheap. I got an affordable one at $130, but it allows me to meticulously control the humidity in my electronic floor humidifier. The slightly more expensive version, I think, was $170, and it has an app. And you're just on your smartphone, which is cool. So, fan, same thing. You can actually get a battery-powered, super light fan, and that battery will last for weeks. So you don't have to worry about wiring anything in. Or you can get a little more crafty with it. An electric floor humidor that does not have refrigeration isn't an electric floor humidor. It's just a floor humidor. So that's sort of level four, right? And then the last level is the display cabinet and walk-in humidor. This is a display cabinet is like a wardrobe. It is a big piece of furniture, and it holds a lot of cigars. If you're like me and you put some thought and artwork into how you store your cigars, this is a great option. Yeah. You can arrange them by manufacturer, by vitola, by wrapper, yeah, by flavor, you know, however you want to. It's also a great option if you want to put some display stuff in there. For example, I have some matching cigar and bourbon pairs, like the Cohiba Weller. You can actually make a display to stand that cigar up next to the bourbon and put that in your cabinet, and now it's art, right?
Yeah.
So these are display cabinets and walk-ins. They're similar to, like, the electric floor humidor, although a lot of the time they don't have cool tech. It's, you know, just a cabinet.
Yep.
They usually do exchange air with the outside. So if these are purpose-built, most of them have a humidifier built into the bottom with a fan. So it really depends. Like, if you're at the flea market, you can get these cabinets with sliding glass doors from a cigar shop. Many times they had a humidifier that got taken out when this cabinet was put on eBay or whatever. And sometimes if they're older, they just don't have anything like that. And so you might have to buy some stuff to really make it work. They can be expensive. That's the real drawback here. And they take up floor space. That can be a drawback as well. But they don't have to be. And so my last humidor that really falls into this category is a DIY walk-in humidor. This is actually shockingly easy to do. What you're going to do is you're going to pick a closet in your home, preferably a smaller one, and you are going to basically build a shelf near the top and then pick up some untreated aged Spanish cedar on the internet. They sell this for humidors, and you can Google humidor cedar. And there are building supply companies that have it. Untreated is extremely important. You don't want to put fucking formaldehyde in your humidor. Do not, under any circumstances, buy any aged Spanish cedar humidor liner from China.
Yeah.
Do not do that. Get a craft and build.
That is a large plank of formaldehyde.
That is a large plank of formaldehyde. There are many craft shops that just sell wood. You can just Google them, and you can get way more than your Spanish cedar. You can actually get, you know, zebra wood, purple heart, some beautiful woods in untreated planks for use in all kinds of things. Cigars, or cigar humidors, pipes, actually making pipes out of them, etc. So there's people that supply specifically for this that have high QC standards that's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Right? Do not cheap out. Don't fucking buy anything on Amazon for this. And nothing with a country of origin, China.
Right.
Right? This is a, for your health. Like, you can severely sicken yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not aware of anyone dying from it, but hospitalizations, sure.
Liquid Lumberdator, Lumber Liquidators. Mm-hmm. Got all their stuff in, you know, that's how they found out about it, because all the kids playing on the floors were getting cancer and stuff.
Right, right, yeah. That's correct. The Lumber Liquidator story. I'm touching up. I've been yakking too much. But let me go back to the project. Get a closet. It should be a smaller one, not your walk-in, you know, master bedroom closet if you have one. Smaller closet. You're just going to make a floor near the top of the closet, and you're going to line it with Spanish cedar, and then ideally you will install sliding glass doors in the front, as well as some shelving. Mm-hmm. And then all you have to do is get one of those bedside humidifiers, like for where you sleep, throw a hygrometer in there, turn the humidifier on as needed. That's the base model, and then you can get fancier from there depending on how crafty you are. So yeah. I built one of these that had the humidifier underneath. It wasn't actually in there. It was separately wired up to a light switch. So I had a light switch for the lamp in the closet. It had a little pull, one of those pull chain lights. So I just bypassed the switch with another hot lead straight over to the wall there and put a electrical socket in that I could plug this into. I could have hardwired it, but it came with a plug from the factory. And I was like, for the next, whoever uses this home next, a 110 outlet is probably more useful than a hardwired in humidor. So, and I put a digital hydrometer in there. And the sensor for the humidifier is in the cabinet, and it's automatic.
Yeah.
I just kept it at the percentage that I wanted. You don't have to use sliding glass doors with seals. Make sure you get the bulb seal. You don't have to do that. You can just have cabinet doors that you pick up from Lowe's.
Yep.
However, those are usually designed to have a lot of airflow around them. And so if you want to make your own seal for just a regular cabinet door, they've got these little round, like rubber stickers to close against. First thing you do is peel those off. The second thing that you do is you take silicone for the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so bathroom sealing silicone, and you have to have some skill. You just cut a little bit off of the tip, so you're running about a 3/32 inch bead, and you run a bead all the way around the edge of the cabinet, and then you just close it.
Also strikes me as if you found a good sealing glass screen door, it would do the same thing, that now you can see in.
Yep. Well, the problem with glass is you're probably going to have to order the doors custom. Finding them the right size is really challenging, unless you find them ahead of time and build the humidor around that. Not difficult. There's a glass fabrication facility within an hour of you, I promise. I'm in the industry, so I know. However, once you put that bead of bathroom silicone, just a 3/32 inch all the way around, close the cabinet, just let it dry, then you take a razor blade, you run it around there, pop the cabinet open, and you will have an airtight seal going forward. So that's a very cheap option that everybody has access to, because you can just get these cabinet doors from Home Depot for nothing. And you can also do a flip top. Mount the hinges at the top, and gravity just holds the door closed. Flip it open. If you want, you can put a fancy magnet on the ceiling, or a latch, if you want to be a little more old school, to hold it open. And then, if you build it right, you can actually take your pull-out drawer humidors that you've already been collecting and outgrown, and you can put them on that shelf.
That's right.
So you have humidified humidors.
Yes.
In a bigger humidor. But the top half walk-in closet humidor is cool as shit. And it's, you know, if you have a little bit of crafty or DIY, you can make something amazing. And if you don't, find that guy. If you don't know him, we talked about relationships earlier. Find that guy that will build it for you, or help you build it, and you will have something that nobody else has.
That's right.
It's just semi-permanent, so plan ahead. So that's selecting a cigar humidor. Box and Boveda, that's the first one, and that scales all the way up to a 50-gallon Sterilite container, so yes, it can last you a while. It's just, you know, ugly,
mm-hmm,
right? Then you have your small lift-lid humidor. You can buy a lot of these at your cigar shops and stuff. You know, once you get up to the 200-count range, and they make them in that style that supposedly hold more than that. I don't recommend it. There's not enough airflow. After that is the desktop cabinet humidor. Door opens, trays come out. Next up from that is furniture floor humidor. So it's like just like the first one, except mm-hmm, it's bigger. And most of these are electronic nowadays. And then after that is display cabinets and walk-in humidors. And if you really want to go whole hog, turn the whole damn closet into a humidor.
Yeah.
There you go. And that's a true walk-in. So, Tom, Angel, anything to add on selecting, collecting, and upgrading your cigar humidors?
I think you left out an important category.
Well, share.
The travel door.
Oh, yeah, the travel door.
You can get a 5, 10, 15, 40... 100-count travel door, it's great. You know, mm-hmm, it's very portable. If you're just starting small, you know, if you're the kind of guy that only smokes 2 cigars a month, a little travel door is perfect. It's an airtight little box, Boveda pack. In fact, that's always the best thing for smaller collections.
Yep.
But it's grab and go.
Yep.
The old Herfador.
The old Herf.
Yeah. Angel, anything to add?
No, I think you guys got it pretty much covered.
I think what I've run into, you know, personally, but also just most folks that I know, they start collecting a lot of small humidors because they're so easy to access.
Yeah.
Right? If this turns into a hobby for you, just go ahead and, you know, turn it into like a hunting expedition, yeah, or something, or a vacation planning exercise. You know, just spend a month thinking about what an upgrade looks like for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can do it once and do it right and get something larger that fits in your life and your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen some amazingly cool humidors, including a coffee table.
Yeah.
That looks like a box style coffee table. Lid opens up. It's a 5,000 count humidor.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a humidifier, a hygrometer, all of that. The one that I saw had a glass top, a glass window,
yeah,
in the top, so you could see the cigar collection, and he had like a Nat Sherman box in there and some other older,
nice,
stuff in the top tray, so it was like art.
Yeah.
But then you lift out the top tray and there's just hundreds of cigars in there. So there's some different things you can do. Just take the time to think it through. But eventually, you know, if your spouse doesn't get fed up, you'll get fed up with, you know, having your 5 different small humidors, right? So it's a great way to like notch up your hobby, right?
It's valuable advice. I run into a lot of people who want to buy their first humidor, and the first thing I say is go away for a month,
mm-hmm,
look online, because you really only need one pretty box humidor sitting on your desk or, you know, wherever for show.
Right.
You know.
Yes, I have one at work.
What you need is efficient volume storage.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's a great call out. Efficient volume storage once your collection gets large. So my boss has a electronic floor humidifier in his office with hundreds of cigars in it. It's a large piece of furniture. I have the small box humidor, lift lid box humidor, on my desk at work. And that's sort of a, you know, you can offer it to guests. I have a divider in there, so I can put one section as like, Angel, help yourself. Here's all the cheap shit. And then another section for...
people you like.
Yeah, no, for others. And a tray on top for the nice stuff when the sales rep comes in, you know, yeah, stuff like that. And I'm very blessed because I have 2 sales reps that are avid cigar smokers. And I sent them here, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Same referrals.
Yeah. Well, you might remember Matt if you were here, because he's like 7 feet tall and was probably wearing a $200 shirt. But Matt, hope you're listening. Nice shirt, by the way. So that's selecting a cigar humidor. Why don't you reach out to us, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Here's the contest. Send us your awesome humidor, right? If you have anything custom, one-off, hard to find or whatever, man, send us pictures. And if you want, we'll share them on the show with other listeners.
I just sent you one of mine.
Tom just started us off. So we will air that next week. Yep. So send us your stuff, man. We want to provide you guys the opportunity to brag a little bit and also give ideas.
Yep.
You know, to all the Cedrics of the world that are getting started, start dreaming, buddy. This is going to get so big.
Yep.
So it is time for our last break. We are having fun smoking the one-of-a-kind Padron Ruby Red.
Yeah.
Special edition, 40th anniversary of Two Guys Smoke Shop. So far, a delicious cigar. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will do our cigar news of the week.
Padron is going to be shipping the PB99 Pure Black Series.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Last year's were, what, the last rendition was 89?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember either.
What do you mean 89?
Was last, there's been two, 87 and 89.
What does that number mean?
Okay, so 99 is for what would have been Jose Padron's 99th birthday. And 89 was his birthday.
Any Padron Black Label, yeah. By all you see.
Yes. So, like I said, this one's going to be celebrating what would have been his 99th birthday. It is a...
Well, the reason I ask is our audience doesn't know, necessarily.
Right? Yeah, so it's a special edition. Exactly.
It's a special edition. The number represents how old the Godfather original Padron would have been.
Alright, so it's going to be a 6 3/4 by 60. So it's going to be natural Maduro, so obviously, you know, everything secret, the innards. So about $44 a stick, $440 for a 10 box.
That's kind of approachable, actually.
Yeah, for Padron.
And I'm going to echo what Tom said. If you see a Padron Black, just buy it. Even if you don't like it, hang on to it for a year and sell it.
Yeah.
You know, if you see it, buy it.
Yeah, the 97 was a same size, just in a torpedo vitola. So, same thing, natural and Maduro. So, if you see it.
I had one 10-count box, and it lasted 4 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
At two.
Yeah. You didn't even get one for yourself?
No, I did not.
Jeez. Yeah. Those go pretty hot. And... the first release was in 2016, which was the 89 for Padron Black Series. Like you said, those things just went like hotcakes. Not the cigar hotcakes, but... All right, now here we go, more expensive. Cohiba Spectre 2024 is releasing this year. Yeah, I know. Relax, I gotta mention it, though, because the prices on this...
It is cool.
It is a cool presentation, like one of the weirdest—not weirdest, but unique.
They come out with the best boxes. I'll give them that.
Here's what I think. I think that I'm going to get a Cohiba Spectre, and I'm going to get the 007 lighter with the hole in the middle of it that looks like the intro to James Bond, because of the movie Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get online the octopus ring from that movie. And I'm going to get one that's the right ring gauge for the cigar and slide it over it. And I think I'm going to add that to my man cave stuff. Because I've got, like, the Rabbit Hole Derringer Diesel Whiskey Row and the whiskey. And I've got, like, the Cohiba Weller and a Weller. And I've got the Blackened M81, you know, the bourbon and the cigar. So this is a little different because there's not a whiskey. But it sounds like a cool, like, James Bond.
That could be a high-end cigar night.
And I could put, okay, I could actually
watch the movie while we
yes, drink and, this. Focus. And I could display my Omega Seamaster 007 timepiece with that collection, right? A little James Bond shrine.
The initial Spectre was released in 2018, which was their first over $100 cigar. And by the way, this is non-Cuban Cohiba, to be specific.
Right, fake Cohiba. Yeah. Well, available in the U.S.
Can't say fake Cohiba.
Well, we'll let the courts decide that.
Yeah, that's what I said. So, the Spectre, this one is going to be a 6x52.
Okay, I like that Vitola better. Yeah,
there's only 750 boxes of 10 boxes.
So, what is it, 120 per stick?
About to go to 150 this year.
Yeah, it could be.
Probably 150. So they're just saying it's over. Yeah, $150.
Not a bad guess, Tom. 150 on the nose. So
these are normally a tubo or in its own individual coffin. This is going to be a metal.
It is a little humidor.
It's a missile silo. Yeah, it's. I'll just put a picture on the screen. That one's worth putting a picture on. The presentation is cool as shit.
Yeah. So that's part of your prices. You're paying for the box.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the advantage of a lot of little tubos like that, though, is that they are very custom-sized humidors.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff ages quick. The only time I ever saw a Romeo and Juliet Reserve Royale with plume was they were in tubes.
Yeah. Yep.
So the box is $1,500, John Roddy's price. For the whole box.
I don't know. I might do that, actually. It's cool.
So,
that's one of those. I might not even smoke one, or I might smoke one.
Can you put the picture up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the wrapper is going to be a Habano Seed, Connecticut, grown here in the U.S., binder, San Andres filler from the DR, Criollo 98, and Mexican San Andres.
Sounds like a decent blend, actually.
Yeah. So, yeah, 6x52.
I like Criollo 98. I'm kind of a fan.
It sounds like a mellow cigar with spice.
Yeah, it does. Well, that's the thing is Mexican San Andres is actually pretty mellow.
Yeah.
It's got, like, earthy and sweet to it, depending on how it's aged. People see that dark, like the Negro.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, that's strong. It's actually not if it's aged correctly.
Yeah, even the U.S. versions, they make some decent blends. They're just a bit...
Overpriced.
Overmarketed.
Yeah. I mean...
I agreed.
You're paying for the style, the substance.
They are pretty expensive, man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember smoking a Cohiba I didn't like. I don't smoke many of them. Yeah. I can't remember not liking one, but I can remember frequently saying, well, I could get a cigar that I like just as much for $10 less or $5 less or something.
Yeah. Like, I've smoked plenty of Blues and the Red Dots.
Yeah. Like, to me, it's a value prop. But they are good cigars. It's just whether you want to pay that much for it, in my opinion. Yeah.
And last but not least, the Toscano will be re-releasing the Brenta in the U.S. I haven't seen Toscanos in a while. Bill used to get them all the time.
Toscano's a good brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Toscanos are pretty good. They have this weird struggle with marketing for some reason in the U.S. And I don't think they help themselves with their whole "this doesn't have to be humidified" shtick.
Yeah.
Even though it's true, I tested it out. But I like their cigar. Now their flavor is different.
And their fire cured as well, so that's
why the flavor is different. Yeah.
So, but okay, so now that we're on that subject, this is going to be their first air cured cigar.
Okay, so they brought the name back, but it's a totally different cigar, and it's their first air cured cigar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't we talk about this like a year ago?
Did we?
I think we did. I think this has been in the works for a while, and they've been dealing with your typical supply chain challenges in the industry.
It's definitely more of a European flavor overall.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because they're from Italy, so for those that don't know.
It suits the climate there.
Yeah.
Well, so, like, when I was in Greece, you had two choices, a Cuban cigar or a Toscano.
Yeah.
That was it. And I think there's a lot of places like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Habano. That's all I got, Habano tobacco, so...
So Cuban seed.
Yeah. So 4 1/8 by 56, small little guy, normal Toscana.
They get a lot of their tobacco from Italy and the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I think, last time I checked, all of their cigars were sourced, the tobacco was sourced from those two places. That might be different now. Mm-hmm. But Italy has some really interesting soil for growing tobacco, and I'm kind of surprised that it's not more popular, except I'll bet Toscano just buys it all up, you know?
Yeah.
But they have pretty rich volcanic soil and a great climate, so
yep.
I'd expect them to be able to grow
yeah.
tobacco there. That's which, you know what that means.
What's that?
Nicaragua could get into the growing tomatoes business. take on the mafia. All right, so it is time to rank this cigar. We are smoking the Ruby Red by Padron. And this is the exclusive edition Two Guys Smoke Shop 40 Anniversary Maduro. It does also come in the natural. And as we mentioned, only 200 boxes, 150 boxes of Maduro, which makes sense because people think Padron, they think Maduro, frankly, and 50 boxes of the natural. And if you're listening to this and you want to try this or just add it to your collection because they're, well, super limited, you better jump online right now. Two Guys Smoke Shop's the only place you can get it. As far as I know, there is no plan to make more, sell more, or distribute them anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They may all be gone by the time this airs, so jump on that. And we moved this show up to as soon as these were available for that reason, to serve you guys out there on the internet. But it's time to rank it. Of course, we have our five-vector ranking system, and we start with presentation. I didn't bring the box in. I didn't buy a box. I can't afford a box. So I'll put a picture up on the screen for you guys out there. But I think the presentation of the cigar, classic Padron, it's beautiful. The only thing that is a little different is it does have cello, and
yep.
Padron is kind of famous for not having cello in a lot of their presentations. I think it's great. I don't think it's, you know, super amazing, but I'm kind of like at an 8 for presentation. It's very good.
Yeah, the box, yeah. We don't have it, but yeah, it's a great looking.
And the cigar itself is handsome.
Yes.
The bands are good. Tom, what do you think?
I think an 8 is fair.
8 is fair. All right. So then we move on to construction, and if this is your first time joining Burnline Podcast, we always give every cigar a 10, and then we start taking points off for issues. This includes, like, draw, consistency, burn, as well as cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a pinhole, it may not actually affect your smoke, but it's still a ding.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my cap was not sealed all the way around, and it survived. It was fine, but that's because I was paying attention. If I was smoking this how I sometimes smoke cigars and how some people I know always smoke cigars, that would be in my mouth right now. Tom, you had a little
mark on the wrapper. I had a little pinhole in the wrapper, but it had no effect on it. Nice even burn, no relights.
Yeah, I had a relight, but that's me.
Yeah,
I was just yakking. And
I had zero issues, man.
No issues. So that would come out to an 8.
No, nine.
1 point for me, 1 point for Tom's.
Okay.
But neither of them affected the smoke, so I think a 9.
Yeah.
I think a 9 is fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of their QC thing, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So
very consistent.
They are very consistent, and they give a damn. I support companies just for that, you know, in this day and age. So that brings us to price. Now, this one, when we say price, we're talking about price and value,
mm-hmm.
right? Price is subjective. Value is subjective, but less, because you have other cigars to compare it to. And that's where we run into a little bit of a problem here. Because this is the only one, and it's never coming back, as far as we know. Never going to be available again.
Yep.
And so, if you are a Padron fanatic, I feel like this is a 10. It's even less than the black coming out, right? It's way less than the 50th, which, by the way, I showed that off on Socials and Surprises a few weeks ago. So that's one of the world's best cigars, in my opinion. You know, if you compare it to some of those, 40 is priceless if you're a Padron fan. If you're not a Padron fan, then it's not.
Right.
But it's just tough because there's not really a comparison except other Padrons. Now, once you get into that, I don't like this more than a regular 1926. But you know what I bought for my humidor? One of these. I got an extra one when I was buying them for the show. Why? You can't not collect it, dude. I mean, come on, right? So, I'd like to hear you guys' opinion. How do we rank price and value on this at $40 for... It's a lot of tobacco, 5 3/4 by 56. But, you know, you can buy 3 great cigars, mm-hmm. and or 2 expensive cigars.
Right.
You can buy 2 Julius Caesars for that, right? In the right Vitola. So, what do you think?
Oh, man, this is a tough one, because, man, 44, but never again.
40. 40. 44 is the black. It costs more.
That's a tough one.
7?
7? Yeah.
So, in other words, you're getting some value. Also, that's a lot of money for a single stick.
Yeah, it really is.
Because you're like right in between 5 and 10. 5 would be like, this is an average price.
Well, this is definitely not a value prop for an absolute new smoker, because it's like...
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're a new smoker, don't smoke a Padron.
Yeah, don't.
And don't start there. But, Tom, what do you think?
I'm with you on the fact of... I would have bought 2,
mm-hmm.
one to smoke and one to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Again, on the price point, there's other Padrones I'll pay that or less that I like better than this one. That being said, if you're a cigar guy, I get two. but yeah, I think that puts it at best, it puts it right at the 7, value-wise.
Okay. Well, I think I'm the outlier here because I've got it like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Because Padron could have charged more and sold out, right? And anybody, I mean, they're all going to sell. People that like Padrones are going to buy 2, like you said. So why don't we do an 8?
Okay.
Fair?
Yeah.
We'll split the difference a little bit on that one. All right, so that brings us to flavor. So I'm going to actually probably be the bad guy here and not score it so well on flavor. And that's not because it's a bad flavor. It's a great flavor. But it's also a Padron.
Yeah, they're always single note.
Yes, it is single note. You know, we would call this a simple cigar. And then also, you know, it's the same flavor all the way through, 2 or 3 flavors maybe. But also, like, I could smoke a Jose Padron Chubo, which is a similar Vitola, have the same experience. Smoke one of the other Padrones, it's a slightly different flavor, but really similar experience.
Yep.
And so, while the flavor might be great, there's nothing to set this apart, I don't think, from the other Padrones. And so, I've got like a 7 there for flavor.
I agree.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a Padron.
7 is as good as I'm going to get, because again, I'm still missing the meatiness that you always get out of a Padron.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's like
right.
It's like meat light.
Yeah, yeah, it is that umami, that seared steak umami, is missing, which is what a lot of people go to Padron for. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly why I go to Padron.
Yeah, so 7 might actually be a little too generous, because there's better Padrons out there. Right.
It's a very pleasant flavor.
Yeah.
We're only comparing it to other Padrones is where, in our heads, the knock comes out.
Mm-hmm.
On its own, it's an enjoyable cigar.
All right, so we'll stick with 7 there.
Yeah.
So that brings us to experience. And I guess for me, like, there are a lot of drawbacks, but then the not drawbacks are stronger than the drawbacks. So let me walk you through my thinking. You can't do anything with this cigar. Not at $40 and not for what the cigar is. I am not sitting on the back porch smoking it unless it is like a meditation session. But I kind of want to be in a more controlled environment.
Yeah.
Definitely not hanging out with friends. I will absolutely smoke it with other cigar smokers. Hey, we're going to smoke the Ruby together.
Yeah, this is not a golf stick, not a walk dog, not
nothing. I am not mowing the lawn. I am not. And part of that's price point. Part of that is the steak itself.
Yeah.
Definitely not exercising. This is a Padron. You do not exercise while smoking your Padron. You sit on your ass with a bottle of water handy, right? Although the strength is not as strong as some Padron. This, I mean, I ended it like a 7.3. Mm-hmm. Stronger than a 7, but... now, the positives for experience, first of all, this is sort of like the Padron experience. It's like, I got the special edition, it tastes like a Padron, it smokes like a Padron. If I'm a Padron fan especially, like, I gotta smoke this. Two, it's a little bit of a big man play. It's an expensive stick. You smoke it, you feel good, right? Anybody that can burn $40 to feel nice about themselves, that's a good experience, right?
Shopping therapy.
Shopping therapy, yeah, absolutely. And then if you're into cigars and specials, and if especially if you can surround yourself with friends like I have for this episode to enjoy it together, hard to beat the experience. So, also, I think, hard to rate. I think I'm at an 8. I think it's a great experience. It's limited, sure, but what it's limited to is phenomenal. So, I'm kind of sitting at an 8. What are your thoughts?
I agree. We hit all the points on that.
Yeah, I'd go with the 8, because I also say it also falls into, this is a nice gift if you hand 2 to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
That's the inherent suggestion that we're going to sit down and smoke these together.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah, buy 2. 1 for you, 1 for a friend. I bought 4. 1 for each of us and 1 for the collection. Because, I mean, damn.
Yeah.
You can't not collect this. Right? So if you're into collecting, that's another dimension for this one that adds to its experience. It is not actually even a smoking experience.
Right.
But this is a cool one to have in that collection here in Humidor, right? So that brings the final score for the Padron Ruby Red 40th Anniversary Exclusive Edition to 40.
Nice.
So one of the few cigars that starts with a 4 in our ranking system. I would say that's a home run. They did a great job. And my only question at this point is, you know, how fast they sell out and if they decide to re-up, right? And we'll see.
We'll see.
They might not even have the tobacco to re-up it. So.
Made me think about how they do the Big Hammer humidors. That if you're the registered owner, every other year when they make them, you got to put your order in, but
they're
actually a lot more affordable.
Yeah, yeah.
That is on my bucket list.
Yeah. Yeah, now the buy-in is pretty steep.
Yes,
but once you afford that, though, you can restock it for very reasonable prices. Yeah. So that is it for this edition. Don't miss our party episode on the Diesel, the final edition of the trilogy,
yeah.
The Worthy Fool. Don't forget to watch that as well. Thanks for joining us on Burnline Podcast. We'll see you again soon.